Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, change makers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by the Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, a proud B Corp using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Stowe Cider, with crisp, clean, and creative award-winning flavors. Visit the tasting room in Stowe or buy Stowe Cider throughout New England, upstate New York, and Washington, D.C. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as Salvation Farms, which nourishes Vermont by distributing produce that farmers can't sell, as well as nearly 700 VBSR business members who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Learn more at www.vbsr.org. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. On today's show, we're going to run the gamut from business to politics. In the second half of the show, my guest will be Senate President Pro Tem, Vermont Senate President Pro Tem Tim Ash. We'll be talking about some of his thoughts on mass incarceration, cannabis, and other things. But first, we're going to start with talking about one of the iconic socially responsible brands in the country, and that is Patagonia. Here to talk about it is Vincent Stanley, who has been with Patagonia on and off since its beginning in 1973, for many of those years in key executive roles as head of sales or marketing. Informally, he's known as Patagonia's chief storyteller. He is the co-author with Patagonia founder Yvon Chouinard of The Responsible Company. He currently serves as the company's director of Patagonia philosophy, and he's a visiting fellow at the Yale School of Management. He's also a poet whose work has appeared in Best American Poetry. Vincent Stanley, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Your title as director, Patagonia philosophy, is not normally in the org chart of companies. So explain what the head of philosophy does.
Well, background to this is in the late 80s and early 90s, when we were operating as a fairly conventional, very fast-growing company, we thought we were losing our way in terms of developing the kind of company that we all wanted to work for. And at that point, Yvon Chouinard started to gather us in groups of 30. We'd go off-site to a place like Yosemite or Marin Headlands and talk about 30 people at a time about how is it that we want to do business? What do we believe in? And we called these, we developed 8 core philosophies is what we called them. And they became the heart of Yvon's book, Let My People Go Surfing. So when I came to the point where I was ready to give up organizational direct responsibilities, what I wanted to do was to go back to these philosophies, many of which I helped write, and to teach them to our employees and to gather employees seminar style, about 12 at a time, working with employees all around the world, to talk about how these philosophies and how these values play out in the workplace. So that's about a third of the job. And then I also spend a lot of time working with and advocating for B Corps. I heard you mention that on the lead into the show. And then also work at Yale and other schools. At Yale, I work with a lot with joint students between the business and the environmental schools, and some of the divinity students as well.
What are some of the Patagonia philosophies that you're referring to?
Well, you know, they divide up into 8 functional areas: general management, product design, production, sales. finance. And in each one of these, we say, okay, what do we want to, how do we want to be regarded in the world, and how do we want to regard what we do? So in finance, it can be as simple as pay your bills on time. In design, there are 19 different criteria we use for determining whether a product can be a Patagonia product, beginning with functionality, durability, and versatility. So and they overlay. If you look at B Lab and the B Corp impact assessment, we're also a B Corp, you look at your responsibilities to, first of all, to the bottom line, because you are a business and you want to, if you don't pay the bills, you can't do anything else, but also to your employees, the communities you operate in, your customers. And finally, what's very important to us is to the natural world. We recently changed our mission statement from, it was a very sensible mission statement that worked for us for 27 years, but we just simplified it to, we're in business to save our home planet, because we think the crisis is that great and the need is that strong.
How do you give expression to that in the business, saving the planet?
I think in a couple of key ways. One is in terms of what we support and how we engage our customers and the environmental community. So since 1985, we've given 1% of sales to grassroots environmental organizations, most of them very small, no bigger than the size of a corner church, working to save a particular stretch of water, a patch of land. And each of our retail stores, we don't have that many of them, but in our retail stores, we serve as a hub for the local environmental community with events and also opportunities for our customers to actually volunteer for organizations. So that's, what do we stand for in the public forum is kind of the first way. And then the second way is, as a business, how do we keep our own house in order? Every business is, over the past 50 years of any size, is engaged in a very deep and mysterious supply chain that gets murkier the farther back you go. So ever since we made the switch, discovered the harm that conventional cotton does to farmland because of the intensive use of chemicals, and we switched to organic cotton, we've been on a path, a sort of progressive path, to reduce our chemical inputs, to make sure that workers in the apparel factories and the mills that make the textiles are paid fairly. That is the second piece, to make sure that everything done in our name is a responsible practice, even though we don't own those businesses, we don't own the mills, and we don't own the sewing factories.
So you referred to Patagonia and Yvon Chouinard, who he's your uncle? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, he is, yes.
Okay. Having lost its way, and I certainly remember as a consumer and of the company's products and somebody who got the catalogs, when Yvon Chouinard wrote an essay about, called The Shaker Box, about how we need to make do with less. We need simplicity.
Right.
And then there was a famous ad in the New York Times and elsewhere with a picture of a very nice Patagonia jacket saying, "Don't buy this jacket." Are you, how do you reconcile that the company is very publicly sort of struggling with its own success?
Well, I think there are a couple of ways to look at that. I don't know that we're so much struggling with our success. I mean, I think the time I referred to, we were struggling with the kind of success we were having. So when we argue that people should reflect on what they're buying, and that companies should reflect on the quality and the environmental impact of what we're making, that's really an extension of making a high-quality product. you know, you could say that Patagonia is violating its own business model by simply making a high quality product that needs to be replaced less. If we make a pair of shorts that last five times as long as another pair, why would we do that? Because we're just denying ourselves the chance to make a new sale. But you can reverse that. You can say that if we make a product that lasts much longer than anybody else's, we're going to attract the loyalty of customers who are then going to come back to us for other things. And that's the business model we operate on. Don't buy this jacket, just briefly, but, you know, the point of that ad was the arresting headline. But what we also showed in that ad was one of our most environmentally benign products that was 100, you know, that could be recycled infinitely, had high recycled content, lasted 10 years. But we also pointed out the degree of greenhouse gas emissions involved in its manufacture, the amount of water it used, and the waste it generated. And so what we said was, listen, we don't know how to make a product that actually gives back to the planet more than we take. So this is something we should all be conscious of as citizens. It's something we should be conscious of as a company, and something all of our customers should be aware of, too.
So when I referred to Chouinard's essay, The Shaker Box, in which he was talking about we should need less, we should make do with less, and it was at a moment when the company intentionally dramatically reduced the number of products it had. Instead of having, you know, a dozen ski pants, you cut that number dramatically. Well, anybody who wanders into a Patagonia store now will see that it's ballooned right back up to, you know, numbers that it would have been at. There are a dizzying array of options.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened?
Well, you know, we have the company grew, but you're also talking 25 to 30 years since the Shaker Box essay. So we have served several sports. We develop new products along those lines. We go through a period, I think, every few years where we actually say, listen, what is the sense? We're making a jacket over here. How much does it duplicate a jacket over there? And can we consolidate? And I think there's kind of a natural expansion and then a periodic retrenchment when we look at the line.
You're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're talking with Vincent Stanley. He is the longtime director of Patagonia Philosophy for Patagonia, the outdoor clothing company. If you want to join this conversation, you can call us at 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. So in late 2017, Patagonia filed suit against President Trump. Explain what the lawsuit was about and why an outdoor clothing company decided to take this stand.
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One, as I mentioned, we've been giving 1% of sales to grassroots environmental organizations since 1985.
And I should add that you gave $10 million of the Republican tax windfall in November 2018 to environmental groups.
Right. We earmarked that. What we wanted, we had worked for many years with groups that were trying to save bears' ears, that were trying to have it declared a national monument. It was so remote that it went unprotected for a long time because there was no threat to it. But in the last couple of decades, there's now increased interest from the oil and mining companies to develop that area. So we worked very hard and spent a great deal of money to help support Bears Ears being declared a national monument at the end of the Obama administration. So it was kind of a natural call for us when the Trump administration rescinded or decimated that, reduced it by 90%, and then also reduced Grand Staircase Escalante by something like 40%. It was kind of a natural process for us to say, no, this is something we worked hard for. Let's take the next step. So we entered we sued, and then since then we've consolidated our lawsuit with several other interests, including Native tribes. But the outdoor industry as a whole has an economic interest, and we argued this in the lawsuit, in preserving public lands, because that's kind of the basis of our businesses, is the relation that we have to these wild places. So I think it's in kind of in two areas, one or two modes. One is we want to protect that land for itself, and two, I think the entire outdoor industry has a legitimate interest to protect public lands.
Have other parts of the outdoor industry followed where you have led?
Yeah, I think there are examples. The entire outdoor industry, for instance, left. We had a trade show in Salt Lake City that was worth about $45 million a year to the state of Utah. And the industry as a whole decided to move that trade show to Colorado in protest of the governor and the Utah congressional delegation's attitude toward public lands.
What other, has there been backlash? And perhaps it's, I mean, some of what I'm reading is it was, there's been very good in terms of consumers, sales spiked dramatically. I'm looking at one article saying that the week that Patagonia's landing page was headlined, "The President Stole Your Land," sales were six times higher than a typical day. Other days, five times higher. What has been the backlash? Has there been a downside of this?
I think there's a downside that we don't see so much. I think we definitely get calls or letters or we disappoint customers, especially those who rely on oil and gas companies for a living. But we also, on the other side, as you can see from that increase in sales, you engender a lot of positive reaction from people who support this. The other thing I think that one of the things we've done in the fight for public lands is to reach out to hunters and fishermen who tend to be in a different, have a different orientation toward politics than the outdoor industry crowd, and to reach out to them because they're also interested in defending public lands. So to kind of enlarge the tent there.
When the subtitle of your book that you wrote with Yvon Chouinard it's called The Responsible Company, What We've Learned from Patagonia's First 40 Years. You're now pushing 50 years that Patagonia is.
Mm-hmm.
How would you encapsulate what some of the key lessons that you and others can learn from the Patagonia experiment?
You know, it's interesting that you use that word, because I think it was something that it was a word Ivo used to describe the company for many decades, to say that Patagonia is an experiment. And I think he was willing, in some ways, to risk the company in order to demonstrate that a company making goods can engage in responsible practices and can change its behavior. And I think he feels now that we're no longer an experiment, that we're successful on enough fronts. We're successful financially, but we're also, one of the differences I see between now and the 1970s, is I see an organization in which the alignment of values and skills, competencies and intentions is much more closely knit than it used to be. I think that 20 years ago, we were a company that was active environmentally. We were also a company, a growing company that was trying to produce the best product for these outdoor sports. And that those activities didn't necessarily integrate. We did everything with no particular group in the company ever won the hearts and minds of everyone else in the company. We just kind of advanced environmentally and advanced in product development by almost by capillary action. But what I see now in the last 10 years, and especially the last 5 years, is that we're actually using the constraints that we put on ourselves, the environmental and social constraints that we put on ourselves, to fuel innovation, and that innovation is actually helping the company succeed. So that's a big difference. But one of the things I love is that, having been with the company when we had 10 people, and is that I see some of the core values that belong to that original group of people have survived in a company of our present size, and it makes me kind of proud.
What are some of those core values?
I think that the original employees were mostly climbers and surfers, that they loved wild places, that they wanted to protect them, that when we all worked together, there was a strong sense of egalitarianism, a sense, almost an anti-corporate sense of being as much or more a community than an institution, and I think that survived as well. And also just a sense of looking out for each other. This is the company that introduced on-site childcare in 1985. I think we were the first company in California to do that, even remotely our size. So this sense of we give 4 months leave to both mothers and fathers when a new child is born. And the whole culture very much supports people who are going outside to have a baby or to go on a special trip. People cover for each other. So that quality, I think, has survived to the present.
What do you see looking ahead to Patagonia's next half century? What is the new ground you hope to blaze?
Well, I think that what we have done so far is, and as expressed and done by this jacket, is to reduce the harm we do in our business processes. And I think the next thing that we're looking at is what are ways we can do it, what we can use as a business to actually give back to the planet as much as we can take? How can we actually regenerate the landscape and the planet? One of those is through the adoption of regenerative agriculture, of changing farming practices, not only to eliminate the industrial chemical inputs, but to adopt no tillage or low tillage, rotational crop planting, cover crops, etc. And there's a lot of evidence that if you restore the soil, which we're losing at a huge rate, you restore the soil to health, you can sequester carbon at an extraordinary rate. You can reduce the capacity of, you can replace the capacity we've lost through deforestation and through acidification of the oceans. So that's one thing we're looking at. We have a small food business, but also fiber. Also is grown on farms in the form of cotton and hemp. And then the other thing to do is to look at our how we get half the line is polyester and nylon. How can we avoid using virgin fossil fuels, either by using entirely recycled plastic as a feedstock or by using biofuels, like beets or sugar or other kinds of inputs. And then that, I think, is our primary concern. And how do we bring our company to live within what the Stockholm Resilience Center has described as these 9 planetary boundaries beyond which we cannot grow?
What do you say to perhaps a young entrepreneur starting a small business who looks at the political stands and the outspokenness that Patagonia has had and says, you know, I can't do that. I need for people of all political stripes to buy my product, my bicycle, my clothing. So, you know, maybe it works for you, but it, you know, it's not something that a new person coming into this can do. What do you say to them?
Well, there are a couple of things. I think one is that I'm kind of reluctant to argue these values on political lines. It has become much more, because the Republican Party has, which used to be the party of Teddy Roosevelt and even of Richard Nixon in the era that created the EPA and the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts, I regret this polarization. But on the other hand, if I were a new business starting out, I would switch this around a little. I wouldn't talk about a political stand, but I would talk about what are my values. If I'm starting a business, what do I hold closest to my heart as being important, and how do I act those values out in my business? That's one thing. And then the second is, again, to have, if I were starting a business now, I would look from the very beginning at what has been in the supply chain and what its social and environmental effects are. And to, as you come across things that you would not like to have done in your name, what do you do to bring about change?
And finally, in the minute we have left, Vincent Stanley, what are you proudest of the nearly half century you've done at Patagonia?
That's funny that you should ask. You know, I think there was a time in the early 90s when this group of a coalition of environmental groups asked us for help on writing a series of ads to close the Edwards Dam on the Kennebec River in Maine. And no dam had ever been taken down against the wishes of its owner.
Okay, we have just 20 seconds, so.
Okay. Anyway, I helped them write the ads, and the dam got taken down, and that's one of the things I'm very proud of.
Okay, well, Vincent Stanley, Director of Patagonia Philosophy, thanks so much for joining us on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you, David.
We're going to take a short break for the news, and we'll be back just after that with Vermont Senate President Pro Tem Tim Ash. Stay tuned.